Hey, yo, what up? Miles Amadeus Prower here, host of the I Black Man podcast, member of the Hyphen Podcast Network, and now host of a podcast called Fresh. Now, a simple man. I like subs to dubs, manga to anime. Now, the way I feel is, doesn't matter what the press says, doesn't matter what the politician, hell, even the feminists say. Doesn't matter if the whole country decides that something is whack is dope. This podcast was founded on one principle above all, the requirement that we stand up for what we believe in, no matter the consequences or the odds. When the internet, when the press, and the whole world tells you to move, your job is to plant yourself like a tree between the rivers of continuity and canon, look them square in the face, and you tell them, no, you move. Podcast called Fresh. Coming to you guys, Hype Podcast Network. Check it out. Coming soon.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Catch the Show. As always, I'm your host, Enigma. And of course, this is episode 68, I believe. Yes, 68. It's episode 68 of the longest running concert review podcast in the world, as far as I know. For all I know, there could be a new concert review podcast now, because everyone has time on their hands. So someone could start this up just like me. I don't know. Of course, this is going to be a bit of a, it's a somber episode. I don't know. We're in a weird state, obviously, of, I didn't want to say emergency, but it is what it is. But I meant in the world right now with COVID-19 going on, aka the coronavirus. I am quarantining, as you should. And yeah, but this is still episode 68 of Catch the Show, the number one concert review podcast in the world, the longest running podcast review in the world. And yeah, the show's going to go on, but not as normally, because it's just been a lot of roadblocks in the way of what would be your typical normal episode of the show. First off, before we get into all that, which should be very little to say, but I mean, knowing me, I can ramble on with these few things, these couple things to talk about. But first off, make sure you're following your boy on Twitter and Instagram at Catcher of Shows. Same handle on Twitter and Instagram. So whichever one you use, or if you use both, you can find me, same handle, at Catcher of Shows. And yeah, that's where you'll be able to find me. And when you do that, whichever one you choose, make sure you also follow the Hyphen Podcast Group, which is the collective, the crew of podcasters that I am proudly a part of. So you can listen to all our shows during this, you know, this alone time and quarantine that you should be doing. we'll give you, you know, we have a bunch of episodes for you to listen to. So we'll give you a live podcast, ear entertainment, you know, to kill time, for you to enjoy and to take in, you know. And best way to keep up with all that is to make sure that you are subscribed to us on any podcast platform, whichever one you choose, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcast or Stitcher, Anchor, whatever, Google Podcasts, but also our social medias. Again, Twitter, Instagram, @podcastgroup. And we also have our website, www.podcastgroup.com. All that jazz. And it's that simple. When you go to that website, all the shows and all their episodes are there. Both of my shows, all that shit. So, bam, there, got that out the way. Let's address the pandemic in the room. Hopefully it's not in the room. Hopefully it's not. But let's address what's going on here, man, because this has affected a lot of people in different ways. And hopefully most of you listening, hopefully it hasn't actually affected any of you, you personally and your loved ones. But you know, for me personally, it has affected, a lot of things I was lined up to do so far. I have a few shows that I was getting ready to go to for these coming months that have now been postponed towards later in the years. Or don't know when they're gonna, you know, when we'll be able to go to them. So yeah, there's shows have been postponed, tours have been postponed, some stuff canceled. I mean, just so it's rough. And not just to be as a concert goer, that's the least of our problems. But for the actual performers, for the actual artists, for the actual bookers, promoters, the people that own the venues, for the actual people that come together to put the tours, put on the tours and put on the shows, it's rougher for them. They're really going through it. This is their job. For us, it's a form of entertainment. It's an escape. But for them, it's their job. It's their, it's work, you know. And a lot of these artists are having to cancel and stuff and postpone stuff. So, you know, they were getting ready to tour, which that alone takes a lot of money to set up a tour, to set up one show, let alone several to last for over a month, a few months. It is no easy feat. And my heart goes out to every artist that, you know, has been affected that way financially due to this pandemic. But you know, here's somewhat of a silver lining to this dark cloud. A lot of artists are finding ways through social media and online, in general, to just kind of still be able to support themselves and give something to y'all. So if your favorite artist who was about to go on tour and you were about to go to said tour, post their link to their Bandcamp or to their merch store. And you know, like a few artists that I'm a fan of, they are posting merch, they're posting up the tour merch on their websites saying, hey, this is what I was going to sell to y'all at the shows, you know, exclusively for the shows. But you know, we can't, obviously we aren't performing, we aren't touring right now, so it's all up there. Please buy, please support. We need the money, straight up. So if you see those artists, man, and you still got that money that you were about to, you know, blast at the show, please, please, please help those artists out and give them your money. It's that simple. Just support that way. This is the time where you support, you know, beyond just going to the show. is where you actually, you know, buy the thing. You know, I mean, if you have the money on that, because I know everyone is kind of a lot of let's call them out. There's some businesses out here that just aren't understanding or don't give a fuck about this going on. There's some businesses that are just refusing to close because of pure ignorance and stubbornness and stupidity. And there are just some businesses that are closing, but they're not helping their employees out. They're not paying them off as they're gone. Fortunately for me, my jobs are doing that. But I mean, not everyone is fortunate. So those of you that do have the money, still have the money left over for the shows that you were going to go to and whatnot that have now been postponed and canceled or whatnot, check your artists out. Check what the artists are saying. You know, check what the musicians are saying, man. Are they, you know, because everyone's trying to get creative and find their way to support themselves during this tough time. And it would be, you know, you can make up for the lost show in the meantime by putting some money in their pockets and getting yourself a nice t-shirt that you would have gotten at the show. I mean, that's a sweet, bittersweet deal in the end. You know, hey, I can't go to the show no more, but I still got that t-shirt that I was going to buy anyway. So, hey, you know, yeah. But of course, let me say, most importantly, please stay in, please social distance yourself. I know I don't want to miss the jokes and stuff like that, but seriously, stay in, keep your distance, quarantine yourself. Don't be like those dumbasses in Florida who basically deserve the virus. They all deserve it. I know it's not the nicest thing to say right now, but some people just deserve punishment for foolish, ignorant things like that. For just stupid shit like that. Some people just deserve it. Just deserve what they could possibly. They just deserve it. If you've seen the Joker, you get what you fucking deserve. So, but please stay in, wash your hands, keep your distance, you know, be courteous and aware of what's going on. Yeah, and I shouldn't have to repeat that any more than that. Everyone's saying it. It's a serious situation, bro. Serious situation going on right now. We don't know what's going on. Yeah. But I do have a show to review this episode. I recorded beforehand, as I do most of my shows that I go to. But this is the last show I got to see. So I'll let y'all know straight up, I was supposed to actually be seeing Billie Eilish this week. I was supposed to see Billie Eilish this week, and I was going to next few weeks from now will have been the review, but she's postponed her tour, and here we are. But yeah, I fortunately, right, you'll hear in the episode, they start to shut shit down in my city the day of this show. So there was a lot of back and forth on, should I go, should I stay, should I go? I mean, like, what, you know, what? I took the leap, very protective of myself. I mean, I was wearing gloves and social distancing the fuck out of myself at this show. But Yeah, you'll hear about that in a minute. But we have to talk about the catch up, okay? So yeah, I've been doing the catch up. I'm doing the No Limit 1998 edition. You know, reviewing No Limit Records, all their releases of 1998. And this episode was supposed to feature my review of Fiend's release. There's always one in the family. There's always one. There's one in every family. By Fiend. Dropped in 1998. What I mistakenly did not do is see if it was even online beforehand. If it was even on the streaming platforms. For some reason, that album is not on streaming. And I will double check again just to see. Because it's a very weird situation. But yeah. That album by Fiend is not on there. On streaming platforms. What is on streaming platforms by Fiend is everything but that album. But if you want to get in specifics of There's One in Every Family, the sequel to that album that dropped last year is on is on Apple Music. And I actually was considering, should I review that? But it kind of wouldn't make no sense without listening to the original. So yeah, no catch up review this week, basically, because the album isn't out there for me to listen to. Yeah, I could listen to it on YouTube or whatever, maybe, but the whole thing is I listen to it on streaming, my specific streaming service, and then I am able to, you know, listen to it when I go work out, when I'm, you know, chilling, you know, whatever. I just play or repeat, whatnot. And it just, for me, it just ain't the same using like a YouTube or whatever, you know, ads and shit, and just, no. So I just gotta take this one on the chin and move on. Hopefully we'll get around to it. I know it's gotta be a killer album because it's fucking Fiend. He's one of the dopest on No Limit. I know this because all his features on No Limit Records are the shit. Hell, not even No Limit Records. When I did the catch up last year on 3-6 Mafia, and he popped up on When the Smoke Clears, he stole the show. And I was like, holy shit, who is this dude? And find out he's on No Limit Records, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till I did. He was actually one of the reasons why we're doing No Limit for this year's catch up. Cause I was just like, oh really? He's on there with Mr. Cole, C Murder, and Silk the Shocker, and Master P, and Mia X, and all these are, oh, Snoop. I think I need to cover No Limit. So this one sucks. This does suck that I'm not able to review this record for you. But it is what it is. Next episode of the show, I will do Soulja Slim's. Give It to Him Raw. I found that. I did check. It's in my library now. It's saved. So I will do that one. So we'll have to skip Fiend, unfortunately. But yeah, Give It to Him Raw by Soulja Slim. That will be on the next episode of this show for the catch up, and we'll review it. Funny thing enough, I will give you this. For those of y'all that have been with me for the longest, I did do Kiss. I did do Kiss's catalog for the first time I did the catch up. And I stopped at Love Gun, because after Love Gun, we would have gotten into the solo album territory, and I was not going to go through 4 Kiss solo albums. It just was not happening. I'm sorry. No. And then after that would have been Dynasty, and I'm like, I want to hear the disco record by Kiss. I want to hear that. So I stopped at Love Gun. Since then, I've had people and I've seen Kiss fans say that Creatures of the Night is one of their best records, which came like almost a full, like almost a whole decade, almost a, not a whole decade, but came many years later. Of course, that's the album with Eric. That's the first, I think it's the first album with Eric Carr on drums. But yeah, so a lot of people say Creatures of the Night is one of their best records, if not their best record. And so, just curiosity got the best of me. I said, okay, you know what? I will give it a listen. I'm going to give it a listen. I gave it a listen today. And yeah, that's the best Kiss album I've listened to. That's the best Kiss album I've listened to. That's the best Kiss album. Kissed. That's the best Kiss album I have listened to. Easily. I've heard the first album all the way to Love Gun. Creatures of the Night is the best one I've heard. By far. Easily. So, bam. And that's it. I'm not going to give a full review of it because we're not even in that wave of the cat. I mean, I've already done the catch up on Kiss. Like, we're not going there. But yeah, that album is the shit. Shout out to all the Kiss Army that basically let it be known about that. So yeah, that's that. I don't think I really have anything else to say. I think that's really about it. So let me just take a minute to really get my thoughts together. The last thing I want to do is be like, all right, moving on, and then I edit the show and I'm just like, oh shit, I forgot to talk about that. But no, I talked about, of course, what's going on with the virus, COVID-19. I've talked about all the shows being postponed and whatnot, and quarantining and making sure you distance yourself socially and wash your hands and stay in. It doesn't hurt to stay in. Fuck spring break and fuck all those Floridians or kids or whoever that just had to go out recently. Hope you all get it. But yeah, what else did I have to talk? I'm talking about why there's no catch up episode this week. Why there's no catch up review. You know, why we're not doing Fiend this week. We're not doing Fiend. There's no Fiend album to listen to on Apple Music and Spotify, as far as I know. I didn't see it on Apple Music, which is my streaming platform of choice. So yeah, there's no really music news to talk about. I mean, what is it? I mean, everyone's singing Imagine and it's pissing people off. I guess, I don't know. And yeah, I mean, nobody's announcing any fucking tours. So yeah, we're just gonna carry on with the review of the show this evening, which is When I Saw the Dead Kennedys. That's right, Legendary Dead Kennedys. I saw them. This is not too long ago. About a week ago? Was it a week ago? Yeah, it was last week, pretty much. Was it last week? Yeah, it was last week I saw the Dead Kennedys. Saw Dead Kennedys last week. Right before the last show I officially have seen, right before all this shit went down. So, yeah. you're gonna hear me talk about my experience. This was a great show to end, not end, but to go off of, basically. But yeah, so we're gonna get into that right now. But I will say, regarding future episodes of the show, we're gonna kind of keep it rolling. I'll figure out what I'll talk about. Might do a couple lists here and there, but if it just seems like it's going to be unsure what's going on with the virus, when we'll be able to yeah, because I've heard of some word that we might be quarantined for another 2 weeks. So, I don't know, but I will let y'all know here, as normal. There will be another episode, and by that episode, we'll figure out what we're doing the episode after that. But as of right now, let's get into my review of my time right before all this went nuts. Well, right before the shutdown or whatever. I don't know. Quarantine, whatever. My time at the Dead Kennedys show, seeing the legendary punk rock band, Dead Kennedys. Let's go. After this ad, of course.
This is Lou Groza of the Cleveland Browns. Hi, Ohio for Cleveland.
What's up, y'all? That's Anthony Sellers.
And that's Eric Jordan.
And this is Browns in Our Blood.
A weekly show where we talk about our favorite team, the Cleveland Browns. You can catch it in video and podcast.
On the /podcastgroup.com. And Must Long Sound Vision.
So
Sunday.
I hate y'all. I got like 15 seconds.
Business now to talk about one hell of an interesting night I recently had. Yes. Which, the night I'm talking about is my night seeing the legendary punk band Dead Kennedys. Out in a coronavirus threatening world. Yeah, man. This was a very interesting day. Probably one of my most interesting days of 2020 so far. You know, I was looking forward to this show for quite a long time. I mean, even the way I came about this show was really weird, because it was just like, I just randomly saw online that the Kennedys were doing a show pretty close by to a venue that I'm very familiar with, and I was just like, I don't think I'm doing anything that week. Let's give that a shot. I mean, shit. To say I saw the Dead Kennedys, which is, you know, definitely one of my favorite punk bands ever. Can't say they're, like, my favorite, but, like, they're definitely on my top 10 easily. But, yeah, I mean, let's just get out the way. The coronavirus and just the pandemic it became kind of put in jeopardy, because the day of, a state of emergency was announced on this city that the show was taking place in, D.C. And so, you know, the mayor is basically just shutting down, canceling all events, any mass gatherings of over 1,000. So I'm, you know, fun fact, you know, I had tickets to go see Anti-Flag the next week, and the venue for that show randomly just closed. And so they refunded me my ticket money, and I was like, well, I guess I'm not seeing Anti-Flag again, but, you know, fortunately, I have already seen Anti-Flag before, so it's not like I was missing out on finally getting to see the band. No, I've seen them before, so, you know, I was just like, well, at least I have the Dead Kennedys show to look forward to. And then this one looked like it was up in jeopardy of not happening at the last minute. So, you know, after that news, breaking news, basically, I guess, whatever you want to call it, I was just staying tuned to, you know, the venue, the 930 Club, which is a very legendary venue in Washington, D.C. I was just staying posted to what was going to happen. Like, is the show still going on? Is it canceled? What is up? And then things start to slowly come out that, you know, they would start postponing and canceling all events in the city the next day and not the day of. And then, you know, the venue, they released a statement saying that the show was still going on. But, you know, if you want to, you know, cancel or not come, you know, to get your refund shit, here's what you do. You know, but saying to anyone that is coming, you know, wash your hands, you know. Take care of your fucking self out here, basically. So, on that note, I was just like, well, you know what? I was just at work the other night and the night before. I'll take another shot at it. I'm not missing DK. Just not happening. So, yeah, and that's where our journey, our experience basically begins for the night. My thing with the Dead Kennedys. As I always do when I start these reviews, talking about these shows, is I always talk about my just sort of my experience or just my history with them, or just, you know, where am I at as a fan of the arts, or what do I know of the arts, and in relation to what am I doing at this gig, you know, at this show. I mean, pretty much as I just said, you know, I wanted to see one of my favorite bands, a legendary, influential, impactful punk band, Dead Kennedys. And yeah, man, I mean, just, they were one of the bands that I jumped into when I was really heavily getting into punk years and years ago. So, you know, whenever a punk rock show of someone, of some band or whoever it may be that I am a fan of comes to town or anywhere near me, 9 times out of 10, I'm going. As a matter of fact, there was recently a show, announced that I was, I'm like, I don't want to go with that. God, where is it at? Hold on. I want to look up what it is. Give me 1 second. Because, Circle Jerks, yeah, that's what it is. The Circle Jerks are coming, in October to another legendary, DC venue, the Black Cat. I think they're gonna do group sex, in whole, pun intended, in its entirety, since it's going to be the 40th anniversary. But yeah, I think I'm, yeah. Oh, those tickets are on sale now. Let me see about that. How much do those cost? Yeah, we are doing this live on the show. This is what I normally go through, people. That's about the same price as the Dead Kennedys show. Yeah, let me bookmark that on Bands in Town. So then I can, so then I'll remember to go. But yeah. Circle Jerks is another one I am a fan of. I like quite a bit of West Coast punk. I don't really have a specific side, but I mean, I guess I'm loyal to, you know, the nearest one by me, which is of course DC hardcore stuff. You know, I mean, which is Bad Brains, Minor Threat. I mean, anybody on Discord, damn near, you know, Void, The Faithed, Rites of Spring, you know. Which, fun fact, I learned, great, the Black Cat is actually founded by one of the members of Grey Matter, another Discord in punk band, DC punk band. So, yeah, but I mean, all around punk, right? I mean, Clash, Sex Pistols, I said, of course, Dead Kennedys. Misfits is a big one. I love the Misfits. Hugely. Bad Brains, as I said, Minor Threat, Black Flag, Circle Jerks, The Descendants is a big one. I mean, you might have heard my Descendants review. You might have heard my Suicidal Tendencies review as well. I never did an Anti-Flag review because I actually went to that show before I started doing the podcast. Same year I started doing this show, but it was before. So, yeah, I'm... Yeah. So, I mean, I consider myself a punk guy. I'm a big punk guy, big metalhead, big hip hop head, whatever you want to call me, whatever. I feel like I fit in that world, just well and fine and dandy, if you don't mind. So yeah, I love that shit. But so, I mean, yeah, as you just heard with me and the Circle Jerk show, man, I had to jump at that. For sure. I mean, I, you know, when I saw the Dead Kennedys show, I was like, I gotta go to that. And yeah, it's basically that simple. I've been waiting a few months for it to come and hit me. And yeah, I knew Jello wasn't gonna be there. And we'll get to that later, because apparently a lot of people still don't know, freaking 20 or something, 30, whatever, how many decades it's been since he's actually been in the band. It just, a lot of people still don't know that he hasn't been in the band since the last damn record they put out, back in 86, you know. So, you know, and it's not like they're just coming back. They've been touring healthily for a long time now. So it's, yeah, this is nothing new, but again, we will get more in detail with that later on. Let's actually talk about what happened when I actually got there. I haven't escaped any coronavirus, you know, threats my way. Knock on wood, by the time you've heard this episode, that I am still coronavirus free by the time this episode is put up and after. Yeah, I made it to the venue. And I was seeing online when I was waiting to hear if the venue was, still gonna go on with the show. I was seeing people, a lot of people, you know, were just like, I'm selling my tickets because I am not going out in this shit, you know, understandably so. But a lot of people were trying to get rid of tickets. And yeah, so when I was going on the way to the venue, I was just like, well, I guess it's gonna be a pretty small crowd tonight, which kind of suck for, you know, the Dead Kennedys and DOA, which, you know, DOA is one of the special is on the lineup too. Legendary, another legendary punk band, DOA. But yeah, I showed up there and it was just like any normal night at the 9:30 club. There was a lot of people. People showed up, you know. It was a show, big crowd. Yeah, it was a bit tight. Which was a bittersweet because tight, you know. Cool. All these people showed up for this, you know, awesome legendary band, but at the same time, we do have a bit of a pandemic going on, and you know, it's getting a little claustrophobic in here. So yeah, that was the kind of feel at first, but you know, got in, and the first act we will talk about is the act that was going on as I was walking into the venue. Which, by the way, the staff at Night 3 Club was very, very nice. And we're wearing gloves. So, there we go on that. Good. Nice. But, yeah, the first band that was playing is a band by the name of the Dingleberry Dynasty. If you've heard of this band, then bravo to you. But, yeah, I've not heard of this band until this show, Dingleberry Dynasty. Now, as they were performing, I was trying to go to the bar and get the first drink of the night to settle in to the vibe and the atmosphere of everything. But, you know, they were doing some song about feminism, how I'm a feminist, something like that. And I was just looking on the stage and I was just like, what is this? I was just kind of like, I mean, hey, it's rough being the band to go on before DOA and the Dead Kennedys, you know. But by the time I finally made it up to the balcony, which is always like, if there's a top level that's open to everyone in a venue, that's where I'm heading. Like, that's my spot. I you know, too much shit goes down on the main floor, you know. But, yeah, so, you know, as I made my way up to the top balcony and found a good spot to just sort of chill back at for a minute, you know, rest easily from my trip up to the venue, they stopped the song and did this very comedic bit, and It was pretty funny, actually. It was pretty funny to the point where I was just like, okay, this is almost too funny for it to just be some witty banter between a band, you know. Like, it was very, not improvised. That's not, of course, that's far from what the word is, but it was very, like, rehearsed. Like, that's part of the show. So I immediately was like, okay, hold on, there's something up with these guys. Because immediately I was, when I came in and, you know, when I actually first got my attention on them, I was just like, okay, this is a little out. This is a little stand, it's just different for this kind of punk show. And by this point, with this little banter going on between the guitarist and the lead guitarist and the lead singer, I was just like, okay, hold on. Now, this is from Baltimore, I believe. They are a Baltimore comedy act. So they're a comedy band. And at that point, I was like, okay, cool. All right. I'm in now. Let me see what you guys are about. And their set was actually pretty good and funny. Their set was pretty good and funny. They had like a little video, which was cool. The stage actually had like a video screen as the backdrop for the show. And yeah, they had their video screen and the dude on stage with a laptop that I guess he was playing their videos and shit too. Yeah, they had one about Gary Busey, with Gary Busey sent them a message to work things out on the stage between, you know, the lead singer and the lead guitarist, which then led to them doing a song about how Gary Busey have the strength of 10 men with normal jobs, as said by doctors and surgeons, which is an actual Gary Busey quote, by the way. And yeah, that they did that song. They did a short song that went a little something like short song, and that was it. They're that kind of comedy band, and I liked them. I thought they were good. I thought they were a really good opening act. First act of the night, opening act. They were pretty good. The last song they did was pretty much about hygiene, taking care of your hygiene, especially during a time like this. So, yeah, I mean, the Dingleberry Dynasty, hell of a name, but yeah, they were pretty good. I have to say, they were a pretty good opening act. So after them it was time for DOA, legendary Canadian punk rock outfit, as some people say, but just really band DOA. So yeah, where's my thing? Canadian hardcore. But yeah. So DOA just straight up kicked ass. That's it. That's all I'm gonna say about it. Like, they kicked total ass. Yeah, like they just came out the trenches ready to run through motherfuckers. And lead singer Joe Keefley, founder of the band, he's 63. He's in his 60s. And this dude plays like he's 16. Like he it was almost kind of felt like it was the theme of that, of there's no age to punk rock. Like you like it's ages, you know, and just, you know, by the crowd, people there as well, you get the same feel or whatnot, but you know, older crowd, of course. Even though people my age are younger, still flowing throughout. But yeah, like, just age ain't number number. And just they know how to play, man. They just kick the songs out back to back to back. Like, there's no stoppage or shortage from DOA. Like, they just, song starts and they're just going, and that was awesome, man. Like, that was awesome to see from guys their age, you know, not to like single them out for their age, but I mean, you know, they're no young bucks, but they play like they are. they play. They definitely don't play like their age. Which, I mean, who's to say how you're supposed to play at your age, that age, or whatever. But I'm just trying to give props to these guys, for as long as they've been around since, if Wikipedia is correct, since 1978. They fucking killed it on stage. Just trudging through songs, you know, and one song specifically, you know, they had one a guy come out on stage with a sign that said "Shithead for President," which immediately got great cheers from the entire crowd, the entire building. You know, very political night, because I mean, it's a Dead Kennedy show. What do you expect? But Yeah, man, DOA, they killed that shit. I mean, I really can't say too much. I'm not a big DOA fan, even though I was listening to Hardcore 81 to get ready for the show and whatnot. But, yeah, they were just great. They were great setup. They were great follow after Dingleberry Dynasty. You know, great prep for DK. So, yeah, yeah. That's all I'm gonna say on Dead Kennedys. I mean, Dead Kennedys on DOA, which another thing, Joe Keefley walked by me after show and that was it. No, nothing. I didn't really say anything to him because I mean coronavirus, but he did walk by, and that's enough. I think I gotta sneeze. Give me a second. Okay, never mind. False alarm. It's just a yawn. But yeah, so after DOA, I made my way down. I thought it was a good time to make my way down to the merch booth while it was, you know, not too busy. Normally, you know, the merch booths, they're normally crazy after the show. And I definitely wanted to make sure I had whatever, you know, merchandise I wanted to get before the, you know, before Dead Kennedys. Because, I mean, I don't want to get during the set because I don't want to miss anything from the set. And I don't want to get after the show because then I'll be waiting longer in the midst of a crowd during this pandemic time. No, just let me knock it out as soon as I can. And of course, I've stated in past episodes, the merchandise is important, especially shows like this, because you're directly getting to support the band, the artist, especially in this streaming age. You know, buying merchandise at shows has now become like part of the experience for me. You know, because it's like if an artist, I'm there, you know, at the show for. Doesn't have any good merch or any merch at all. I look as like, oh, so you just want me to kind of stream your shit or just like not really support your shit because you're not even coming to my town with anything for me to buy to give you more money on, to actually give you money for, you know, so. That's, you know, I look at the merchandising side of things at shows as a way to actually give support the artists. Because that's what it is, you know, that's a good chunk of where their income comes from, aside from just actually performing the merch booth. So, I definitely wanted to... you know, definitely get some Dead Kennedys merchandise for sure. I mean, that DK logo is iconic itself. You know, even if you don't know who Dead Kennedys are, you've seen that logo around. It's one of the, I mean, it's one of the things that made them so, you know, impactful. It's just influential aside from, you know, the music itself. But I mean, just they have one of the most recognizable punk rock logos up there with, you know, the Misfits logo and I guess you could say the Ramones logo with their names on it and the Eagles is pretty it's on the same, pretty infamous as well. But I mean that Misfits logo might be the most recognizable punk band logo. The black flag with the four black bars as well. That's another one. But I mean, definitely that DK for sure is. I mean, when they put it on the video screen after DOA set, the crowd erupted just off of that. Because we all knew what time it was. We knew it was Kennedy's time. Like we knew it was time for that. That shit. And I loved that feel. I loved it. And actually, you know what? Let's before we each talk about it, I gotta give a shout out to this chick who I saw, this punk rock chick to the fullest. This girl was punk rock head to toe and drop dead gorgeous. Makeup was on point. Her outfit was just fucking killer. And she had her head, her size of her head shaved, and she had like pink and turquoise blue hair. Like a really badass punk kind of Harley Quinn look she was going for. Well, I don't think that's what she was going for, but that's what she was like. She looked to me like she was beautiful. Beautiful and badass in one combination. If you are listening to this, please feel free to attack my DMs. But yeah, shout out to that girl. That girl was on point. And shout out to everyone who complimented my Bad Brains shirt. PMA, ladies and gentlemen. Just PMA. PMA and thank you. So yeah, it's time for the Kennedy, Dead Kennedys to come out. Yeah, they are not, Metallica's not the only band to come out to the Ecstasy of Gold. They did as well, which was a great setup. They come out, first person to come out is East Bay Ray, across the stage, coming across stage with his guitar, awesome. Then DH Peligro, on drums, Claws Fluoride on the bass comes out, and then comes out their lead singer, Skip. I'm sorry, were you expecting somebody else? No, but yeah, they come out and their first song they jump into is Four to Death. And yeah. Ah, man. They just immediately grabbed by the collars of my denim vest and just pulled into this awesome into this awesome set that went on for about, I want to say, an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 15 minutes, I think. Yeah, an hour at the very least. You know, they ran through like less than 20 songs, but it was a, the set was really fucking good. If you're a Dead Kennedys fan, really good set. Not many obscure tracks. They really kept it between the first three albums. Like, they really kept it between Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables, Plastic Surgery Disasters, and Frankenchrist. They pretty much kept it between that. And if you've and if you're familiar with Give Me Convenience or Give Me Death, the compilation that came out after their last album, Bedtime for Democracy, they did a few of the tracks off there. They did Police Truck and Too Drunk to Fuck, and I think that's about it off of that record. So they did those two off of that, but nothing off of Bedtime for Democracy. Even though they were selling that at the merch booth, which, oh yeah, by the way, I completely left over. Yeah, I got me like a DK shirt. I bought all the buttons that them and DOA were selling, and I did get Fresh Fruit for Rotting Vegetables on vinyl. So yeah, but yeah. They did not do anything off of Bedtime for Democracy, which was funny. But yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's not like that's my favorite Kennedy's record anyway. But yeah, they started off with Ford's Death, which was great. And yeah, man, let's just get this part out of the way, all right? Because this is gonna be, I think it's gonna be, I have a feeling this is gonna turn into a rant. Anyway, let's get this out of the way. So, you know, Skip, the current lead singer of Dead Kennedys, Skip. He's their guy. He's the guy filling in for Jello. And yeah, there was people online talking, you know, on the Facebook for on Facebook or just anything on any social medias in regards of this show and tour. Just kind of shitting like, oh, you know, if Jello's not gonna be there, it's not worth the price of admission or whatever. And it's like, I get Jello's the voice on all those records. It's no new Dead Kennedys record with Skip on it that I know of. Jello's on all those records. Got it. Understand the love and the dedication. Jello's great. Jello's one of the best frontmen in punk rock, if not in general, in music in general. Jello's the shit. But Jello hasn't been in the band since 86. Alright? And if you want to be real, if you want to be completely honest, he was in the band from 78 to 86. It's 8 years. Skip has been in the band since 2008. Skip has been in the band since 2008. There's been other vocalists. There's been other people that have been brought in before him to do vocals. But Skip has been the longest tenured vocalist in Dead Kennedys. In general, not just in the people to replace Jello Biafra, but he's been in the band longer than Jello Biafra. That's a fact. He's been in the band since 2008 to now. That's 12 years, right? That's 12 years. Jello was not in the Dead Kennedys for 12 years. And Jello probably won't be coming back to the Dead Kennedys anytime soon. Because he's got pretty much a grudge against the band. You know, they went to court over, you know, the shit that a lot of bands argue over. Publishing rights, you know. Copyright, you know. Royalties. Pretty much. And Jello's just one of those kind of. He's like up there with a John Lydon, aka Johnny Rotten type. That's just, you know, one of those controversial punk figures that's just super too concerned with the ideal of selling out to the point where it's like you're criticizing your bandmates for not even really selling out, but just for trying to make a living off of the music you guys created. And Jello's just one, you know. I'm a fan of Jello, so you know. But I mean, Jello's just always, he's one of those few that's just, you know, he's a very smart person, and you can tell he knows that. He's very aware of that. But yeah, I mean, I like Jello Biafra. You know, I love what he's contributed on those records. But you know, if I want to see the Dead Kennedys live, and he's the only person in the band that's not down to perform, then okay, fine. Give me somebody who can do the tunes. Then give me somebody who can do his parts, just like many other bands have done before. When someone in the band when there's one person in the band keeping the rest of the band from, you know, continuing on. So they got Skip. And Skip is pretty fucking good, if I'm completely honest. I don't have any knowledge of Skip in DK before this show. I haven't seen videos of them, like, really, until this show was announced. I didn't even know Dead Kennedys were still out touring. But, yeah. Skip is the shit. Skip kills it. Like, there's a reason he's been in the band the longest of any vocalist they've had. Because he nails the shit down. As the first few songs of the set, I was kind of questioning myself, like, does he sound like Jello a little bit to me? Is it just me? I didn't want to ask nobody because coronavirus. But I just was, like, thinking to myself, does he sound a little bit like Jello, or is it just my mind just kind of trying to accept? I don't know, but I got past that, and it just came down to, no, this dude is just a good frontman. He's a good lead singer. He doesn't really sound like Jello, but he attacks these songs with the same energy, the same charisma, the same snark, the same delivery as Jello without trying to imitate Jello. You know, he's not rolling his R's. He's not, doesn't have the vibrato in his voice and whatnot. And the, you know, the sass, you know, he's witty, definitely witty, definitely witty, definitely humorous and funny. Just off the banter he delivers in between songs and whatnot to the crowd. But, you know, he's not copying Jello. He's not doing a Jello impression or imitation. He's not trying to sound like Jello just to have the song sound as authentic as maybe you think the fans will want. No, he's just going on stage and he's just nailing those songs and giving his shit. Just, he's got the charisma. He's got the delivery. He's got the attitude. Skip's the shit. The dude's the shit. And he alone is where I would recommend to go see the Dead Kennedys if they come your way anytime soon. After all this pandemic shit. But yeah, man. I mean, yeah, like, he honestly is one of the reasons he made the show. He made the show. Because, I mean, come on. With Claws, East Bay Ray, and DH, they're going to do their thing. They're going to deliver. They made the songs. That alone, you know, to see the guys that made these songs, these legendary classic songs, that alone, price of admission. But, you know, we're missing... there's an element missing, and we need something to fulfill that missing piece to, you know, full out the whole experience. Dude comes through. Dude really comes through and delivers, and that's honestly all I can say. I mean, one of the standout moments of the show is Jockorama, where he does the little, you know, the part of the, if you know the song, he does the part where, you know, Jello, or there's a part in the song, whatever, you know, the part where it's like the quarterback, you know, broke his neck, and his dear old mom and dad, you know, that part, the little monologue break, whatever you want to call it, and he nails that part. He nailed it live. And that was the moment where I was just like, this guy is good. They got the right guy to be doing this with. Like, I don't think I would be getting this much from Jello, to be honest. Like, I don't think Jello would be as enthusiastic as this guy seemed to be performing these songs. even though he's been in the band for well over a decade. But yeah, I mean, dude delivered, and that's all I'll say. So yeah, the show was going really good at this point, and DH did a drum solo on just the cymbals, like not the snare, not the toms, not the kick drum, like just the cymbals. At one point, it was really I thought it was pretty unique, and pretty cool. Deitch Balicka was one of my favorite punk drummers, by the way. And yeah, I just. Water. But yeah, the show was just going really good. Crowd was losing. Crowd was going nuts. People moshing, jumping up and down. Like, it was just so much fun. Especially when they did Kill the Poor. Kill the Poor, I loved it. Kill the poor. Kill the poor. Which was in the country at the moment, at the time of. And so they used that as a way to transition into Kill the Poor. Then they did like a I don't know if it's a new song. Maybe it is a new song. I don't know. Or maybe it's an older song, but it's like their latest. I don't know. It's a song. I looked up the set list, and it's apparently a track called MP3 Get Off the Web. Never heard before. I just knew. I was like, okay, this is some, either he's improvising pretty well right now, or this is like a completely new track I've never heard before. Because the lyrics were very modern. It was, very social media and all that stuff. It was basically about that. Let me just double check. I don't see anything about it. So, I think it's a older song. But yeah. Shit, man, I just. Yeah, I'm just thinking back on just the show was great. Man, I love right after that they did a Too Drunk to Fuck, which man, that sounds so good live. Too drunk to fuck. I'm too drunk to fuck. Too drunk to fuck. Man, that sounded really good live. And then I was surprised they did Moon Over Marin. I don't know if it's Marin or Marin, but whatever. I love that song. That's one of my personal favorites of theirs. Like, I was very surprised they did that live, because that's the album closer to Plastic Surgery Disasters. It sounded so good live. And I love that. I love East Bay Ray's guitar playing on that one. But yeah, I was surprised they did that one. Too, but yeah, that was just the icing, the cherry on top for me, because it's a personal favorite that I wouldn't really have expected them to do live. And then at this point, this is where they start to go pretty much into which I guess you could say, quote unquote, were the hits. Skip introduced everyone in the band, which, when they got to Skip, there were some assholes in the crowd that just had to you say something, or you're not Jello or whatever, that fuck off. No one cared at this point. At this point, we were just enjoying the performance, enjoying the show. But yeah, at this point, this is where they started to kick out the jams, motherfucker, as the great MC5 would say. Nazi punks, fuck off. Nazi punks, Nazi punks, Nazi punks, fuck off. followed up beautifully, beautifully followed up by California Uber Alice, California Uber Alice, Uber Alice, California Uber Alice, California. Which was pretty much ended the main set. It was great. It was great. It was so great. And I knew they were far from over, because I mean, there's this one song that the band is known for that they had not kicked out yet. They had not played yet. But yeah, I knew Encore had to make my way on down, get a little closer, just a little closer, as the crowd moves, you know, because some people were just like, okay, that's, they left the stage, I'm leaving. I don't care if they're coming back on stage. That's my cue to leave. I got to go home. I got to get to the kids. I got work in the morning, whatever. That's what they did. So, I believe they came back out and they did Bleed For Me. I think that's the song they did. But I definitely know they did their cover of Viva Las Vegas, which was great. I love that as well. And then a perfect setup and lead up into the song with the opening bass line, which just, of course, got the crowd wild. Like, straight up, just as soon as everyone in that room heard the yeah, lost it. Completely different energy, completely different vibe, atmosphere from that point on. Like, just the whole mood changed. I saw it, I felt it, I was up there in the middle of it, compared to where beforehand, for whole, you know, everything before in the show, at that point, I was up top, looking over it. This time, I was in the middle of it, I was looking around, everyone was definitely like, fuck yeah, we are about to see the Dead Kennedys play Holiday in Cambodia. And yeah, man, like they were doing every other song. Of course, they killed it. They killed it. Just the part where, you know, pot or whatever it is, you know, in the last bit, right before the last run of the chorus in the song. Crowd, you know, it was a call and response between the crowd and Skip, and the different. It was different. But yeah, man, and that's when I left. After that song, that's when I bounced. I think they did do one more track. I think they did do another song, and I think it was Chemical Warfare. I think it might have been Chemical Warfare. It sounded like it was Chemical Warfare, but that was basically it. And yeah, man, the show was great. This is, so far, this is probably the best show I've went to of 2020. So far. Not too much to compete against, but this was definitely this is pretty much the kickoff for it. So, yeah, this is one of my favorite shows I've seen at the 930 Club. It's probably one of my favorite punk shows I've ever been to. Yeah, man, the show was really fucking good. Really fucking good. Again, if you get the opportunity to see the Dead Kennedys live anytime soon, after all this shit is over and done with and we can all go out and enjoy ourselves. Yeah, if you get the chance to see DK anytime soon, then please take my word for it. especially if you're a fan, just go, all right? Don't get caught up on, you know, if Jelly Biafra is there or not. Jelly Biafra is not the Dead Kennedys. He is a crucial part of the Dead Kennedys. But he just as crucial a part as East Bay Ray is, as D.H. Blickrill is, as Klaus Fluoride is. Dead Kennedys is not the Jelly Biafra band. Jelly Biafra has his own band for that, okay? But if you are a true fan of this band and you just would love to experience those songs being played by them live, whenever they come to your town, definitely go for it. Because I will tell you, the dude Skip, he gives his all on the stage, he twists, he dances to all this, everything. He is carrying on that band's legacy and helping them carry on their legacy as well. Like, he is doing the music justice. And that is it. And that is all I'm going to say. The Kennedys were great. DOA was great. Even the Dingleberry Dynasty was great. It was a great show. Top to bottom. Had a really fun time. And, man, that's why I love punk rock, man. Just the energy is different. It's fun. Yeah, man. Go out to a punk rock show sometime. Go out to a punk show, man. Just go out someday. Just go out sometime. Just go. It doesn't matter if you're into it or not. Just go. Go to a show of a band you enjoy. Just go. But, yeah. That's it for this episode. I'm your host, EG. Not EG anymore. Enigma. Make sure you're following me on Twitter and Instagram at Catcher of Shows. And yeah, that'll be it for this episode. Hopefully, we will. Maybe, hopefully, near the end of the year, later on in the year, we will be doing a... We can talk about this Circle Jerk show in October, maybe. Hopefully. But yeah, you just caught this show, and I will catch you next time. Peace, and if you're a Nazi punk, please, with all due respect, politely, fuck off.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
Dirt at Festus. I'm getting paid at Exposure.